Welcome to the Career Change Podcast, where you'll discover the frank and practical advice and resources that are already proven to work in the real world when it comes to changing careers or figuring out what business is right for you when you are a smart but likely also stuck, overwhelmed or overthinking person in your mid-30s, your 40s, your mid-50s. I'm your host, Ricky Hansen, a career change advisor, entrepreneur and former corporate HR professional with over 15 years experience of helping thousands of people just like you identify or create careers or businesses that are both meaningful and future-proof. Welcome home. Hey, it's Ricky here. Welcome to episode 40 of the Career Change Podcast. Help, I hate selling myself. If you've uttered those words too, then this whole episode is very much for you. I get a lot of emails from my subscribers over at thecareerchangepodcast.com asking me to do at least one episode about what to do if you hate selling. So let me give an example of a classic email that I see around this. So it sounds something like this. Hi, Ricky. I do not like selling or blowing my own trumpet. Never have. It makes me feel like that scammy, greasy-haired, secondhand car salesperson who's trying to push a faulty car on me. However, I also know that I need and want to change my perception of sales. Is there a non-sleazy way of selling? End of email. Now, that pretty much outlines what the issue is, right? Can you relate to that? Now, I wanted to be clear up front. It is very normal to not like having to sell yourself. Because let's face it, you probably have never been taught how to do it. And you don't know how to do it. And you just don't like sort of doing it. So you probably just sort of ignored it. But here's what I want you to know. Even though it's understandable that you might not like it or don't know how to do it, that is not really an excuse to not face it. Because here's, let's talk facts here. It is a must-have skill. And the great thing is a skill that can absolutely be developed and that can be de-sleazed. Being a great salesperson, you know, there isn't really a different vocabulary right now. So let's just use the word salesperson or being good at selling. It is a massive advantage in the job market or in the world of work, full stop. So it's definitely something that I recommend that you would want to learn. Because the way that this new world of work is going is that we're all going to be changing, whether it's jobs or businesses or clients on a much more frequent basis. So it's a skill that you're increasingly going to learn, going to have to rely on and become good at and learn to enjoy and learn to tailor to you. Because you're going to, it's not that you're going to need it less in the future. You're going to need it more and more. Hence why I really feel strongly about recording this episode for you. Because trust me, there are definitely different ways of doing it than you've probably been used to. And I can really say that confidently because I actually come from a background in human resources. So before I started, you know, my career as a career change advisor, before I started my firm doing that back in 2005, I actually worked for a number of years in human resources. I worked for American investment banks in London, companies like Morgan Stanley, and I did a lot of interviewing. And I did a lot of teaching interviews, teaching, you know, sales to interviews, interviewees, all of that. And it's also something I've done with my clients on a regular basis, whether they're, you know, self-employed or they're looking for a stopgap job or their career change job and all of that. So it's something I've actually got a lot of experience of. So I can promise you there are better ways of doing it. And it's something I've got a lot of experience in. So hence why I want to do this for you, this episode. But I also want to say that this episode that I'm doing, this episode 40, is very much a mindset reframe episode. If you want me to go in and do more episodes around specific interview techniques to do with career change or anything that I'm not covering here, then of course, let me know. If you're subscribed over at thecareerchangepodcast.com, just, or if you want to go and do that, then just hit reply to any of my emails and let me know what you want me to go deeper with, what do you have questions about, and then the most requested ones I'll do future episodes about. But one of the most important thing before any techniques is really to reframe how you think about selling yourself. And remember, that's not just interviews. That's in many different scenarios, especially also if you are a business owner or if you want to start your own business. It's even more important to really get your head around what does it mean to be a good salesperson and to sell yourself. And the good news is that, like I said, you know, selling yourself in the work context, it's not just a skill set. It's also a mindset. And what's great about both the skill set and the mindset is that both of those are totally within your control. And it's something you can absolutely learn, and you can learn to tailor it to who you uniquely are. So there you go. I also just took all the excuses away as to why you should want to learn this and why you absolutely can. Now, when I say mindset, all I mean is that is how you think about something. And in this case, how you think about the act of selling and about your role in selling and about yourself. And here's why it's so important to think about your mindset when it comes to quote unquote selling, is that how you think about anything will color how you feel when you do it, how you act. So what I want to do in this episode, and especially right up front, I really want to share with you a reframe about how you can start thinking much more positively and pragmatically about how you view selling full stop. And you don't have to agree with anything I say here. You just want to try it out, right? So if you're like, oh, no, I don't want to do anything. No, this is like, try it out. You don't have to agree with anything. Just try it out and see if it works. Okay, so don't be stuck in your ways. And I really want to spend a little bit of time establishing the right frame. And then once we've done that, then we'll talk about two more mindset reframes. They're going to be quite quick. And then also I want to end with giving you a highly practical exercise or strategy for how you can do some non-sleazy, highly effective sales prep before you even do any sales. All right. So let's get straight into it. But let's start by flipping this whole sales thing on its head. So let me ask you a question. Do you like buying? Or do you like finding something with the help of a really fantastic salesperson that's just right for you and what you need, who really gets you, right? Do you like buying? Do you like getting help from a really fantastic salesperson who totally gets you? If you do, then this mindset shift is going to be really great for you. Because here's what I know about most people, and probably including you as well, my dear listener. We love buying. When something is just right for us, we actually love buying. We love it when we find a salesperson to sell to us who gets us and who uses their knowledge and expertise to meet our needs. That is like a sublime experience to have, right? So just think about that for a moment, about a great salesperson in any kind of context that you came across and a buying experience that you really loved, because it's really going to help you reframe how you view selling. Right? So one that comes to mind to me when I was thinking about, you know, scripting and preparing this episode was a book shopping experience that I had this summer in Paris. So I spent June in Paris last year. I used to live there when I was much younger, in my late teens, early 20s. I used to live in Paris. So I go back on a regular basis. So June is, by the way, one of the best months to go to Paris. And I'm also very excited because I love books. I'm a massive bookworm, and I speak fluent French, and there are quite a lot of books that never get translated from French into other languages. So every time I go back to Paris, I always try to see, ooh, going back to the old bookshops that I love, but also, is there a new bookshop? And when I did my research, I realized there was a new bookshop. There was not just a bookshop, but it was also a cafe. And they apparently also serve the best croque monsieur, which is that kind of amazing cheese and ham sandwich. So I'm like, I got to go there. By the way, in case you want to go, it's called Tram Libéré. So that's T-R-A-M, Tram Libéré Café. It's absolutely amazing. So I went there and I walked in, and straight away I got chatting to the bookseller. She was amazing. And I could tell straight away, she started asking the right kind of questions. She started really getting to know me. She was like, you know, tell me about the books that you like, the authors that you like, the storylines that you like. You know, also, how do you want to feel? How do you not want to feel? And because in this case, I was in Paris for holidays, I wanted fiction. I didn't want the classic sort of, I wanted something that was quite different from the nonfiction that I often read, which is all around psychology, neuroscience, you know, technology, all of that. I want it really great fiction, great stories with complex characters, ideally a bit sad or dark. You know, I'm Scandinavian after all. I also wanted something, I like language that's beautiful, sensual, descriptive language. So we had a little bit of a consult like that, and it was really enjoyable. I could tell she really cared about what I thought. Then I went to eat my croque monsieur, and then afterwards, they also have great tea, but that, by the way, they had an amazing white tea. I'm a real tea and books, hello. Then I went back to speak to her, and she had come up with this great stack of books, and she took me through each one of these books and why she'd chosen each one, very much using my words. Now, just take a second there. Did I feel special? Did I like being sold to? Did I feel that she got me? You bet I did. That experience, that buying experience, that being sold to experience, that was one of the highlights of my last day in Paris. And did I feel actually almost grateful to her for being a good salesperson? You bet I did. Did I think of her as being a sleazy car salesperson trying to throw shady stuff at me? No, I did not. So I want you to think over some great being sold to experiences, a buying experience that you've had that made you feel genuinely heard and listened to, and where you got that great match, whether it was shoes or books or watch or whatever. Choose your favorite thing that you don't regret buying, right? I'm sure you see where I'm going with this analogy when it comes to selling, right? We want the people we are selling to ourselves to have a similar experience. We want to do what we can to make sure that the people who buy from us, who have a buying experience with us, they have a great buying experience. We want them to feel that we have actually taken the time to understand what they want, who they are, what they need, who they really are, so that we can match them with what we have that's just a right match for that. You know, using their input and then matching that with our expertise and what we have to offer. And at the same time, if that match isn't there, we're not going to try to force it either. We'll be frank and honest. And this is important, right? Let's say that I was really into, let's say, distant universe science fiction inspired by Greek myths. And I only like, and also only books about beetles in Australia. Now, this was a tiny bookshop, so that would not have been a good fit, right? So in that case, the bookseller, you know, Marion, who is absolutely amazing, she would have said, no, you know, it's not going to be the right fit, but here's what you go instead. So she wasn't trying to force something on me that wasn't right for me. And if I told her something very different initially, she would have been honest and say, hey, that's not right. But there's a bookshop down the road that will be perfect for geeks like you. You know, that in my book is the best kind of selling. And you should take pride in doing that kind of sale, really, right? That's a proper win-win when you really give someone that perfect match, or you're really honest about the fact that it's not a really good match. That is a proper win-win, which is literally, and remember, it's a win-win. Bear this in mind, a win-win. And that's literally the opposite of the sleazy car salesperson where you are left with a dot car, right? Sales, I really believe, sales when done right is a kind of gift that we give to others. And when I used to interview candidates for jobs back in my human resources days, I got a high every time someone was a great match for what I needed. It was such a joy to buy them, so to say, when I was sitting there in the interview scenario and, you know, they actually, I could tell that they thought about what I wanted. They looked into the company, they looked into the job description, they actually prepared with that in mind. It was such a joy to have, for me to have those conversations as an interviewer and to really feel that they understood me, they got me, and they had what I wanted, okay? So forget about sleazy Bobby car salesperson. Let's call him that. Forget about sleazy Bobby car salesperson. Instead, think about Marion. So Marion, or Marion, which she called the bookseller in Paris, you know, think about her with a bookshelves full of stuff, finding the right stuff for me. Not just push shizzle that only she likes, but she understands my needs and my wants and my pit hates. And then she adds a bit of magic in there, right? So I really want you to recall or find your own epic bookseller analogy. Or you can borrow mine. Just think of Marion, the bookseller in Paris. It's really powerful in your life to find analogies and almost like name them. So in my case, it's Marion the bookseller. So now that we've laid the groundwork and set the context, we got you into the sort of right mindset about what a great buying / sales experience can feel and be like. Don't you already feel better and less sleazy, right? Just think about Marion, the bookseller. She's the role model we're looking for here. Bobby, the sleazy car salesperson, bye-bye. We don't need him anymore. And frankly, we should never have needed him. So just know that there are better role models for us, and let's use them instead. Role models are fantastic when it comes to rewiring how we think about things. Okay, so now that I've laid the groundwork with you and you hopefully already starting to think about, you know, selling in a different way because you're realizing that it's all about providing the best possible buying experience because people love buying when it's the right thing to do. But let me give you something more to think about. So I want to move into three strategies for helping buyers have an amazing experience with you. Okay, so the first two strategies are very much mindset reframes again. So number one is to get over yourself. Selling is not about you. It's about them, the buyer, the client. And strategy number two, be a value provider, not a self-promoter. And then the third one is more of a practical exercise to help you prepare for selling, which is number three, which is to prepare your unique value toolbox before selling. All right, are you ready? Let's go into mindset strategy number one. Get over yourself. Selling is not about you. It's about them, the buyer. Okay, if there's only one strategy you remember, make it this. And think about this whole bookshop experience analogy, right? Get over yourself. Selling is not about you. It's about them. Now, I get it. Many of us do not like being in the spotlight. And this whole, oh my God, I hate selling myself, or I hate bragging question, it often comes from those of my clients, those of my listeners, who are the more introverted or shy or private types. So no wonder if you don't like being in an interview or sales situation, because you don't like being in the spotlight, right? And a sales scenario is literally the spotlight experience par excellence, right? So talking about the spotlight, here's a bit of psychology that you might find helpful and reassuring in this case. There is actually a concept which is called the spotlight effect. And the spotlight effect in psychology is a cognitive bias which describes the tendency that we have as humans to overestimate how much other people actually notice how you look and act, right? Our brains, they literally trigger us into believing that others are focused on us all the time, as if a virtual spotlight was constantly shining on us, right? An example that's given in the study is that if your shirt has a stain on it, you're out in a restaurant, you might think that everyone in the restaurant noticed, right? But in reality, the people at your table or the people actually sitting right in front of you might not even have noticed, much less anyone else. People do not notice or think about us all the time as much as we think. We want to get over this getting paranoid about ourselves in relation to others. But here's the thing, you know, when you present to a group or you're trying to sell yourself in an interview or sales call or a sales presentation, the conditions are right for you to be susceptible to the spotlight effect, right? You really feel, oh my God, this is all about me. You know, in many cases, the people interviewing you or being sold to, they're literally looking at you. You literally feel like the spotlight is on you. Right? And that's the thing, as humans, we have an egocentric bias. We think everything, or at least most things, are about us. So when it comes to selling, it's really key to be aware of how this egocentric bias might be playing out for you when it comes to a sales scenario, especially if you're finding it intimidating and paralyzing. Hence why I keep suggesting reframes for how you view your role and position in the sales process so we can get you out of your own way and over yourself. Hence this strategy, mindset reframe strategy number one, get over yourself, my friend. Selling is not about you. It's all about them. So remember how the spotlight effect might be impacting you next time you're in a sales scenario, right? Stop being so overly paranoid about yourself. Instead, ask, where's my spotlight right now? Is it paralyzingly on me? And can I switch it towards them, the buyer, the potential client, the interviewer, right? Focus the spotlight on the audience. That is the best way of dealing with that, you know, being so self-conscious and being so worried. Shift the spotlight on them. This is really a preferred way that I like to teach my clients how to eliminate those kind of intimidating spotlight effects that you might get when you do a presentation, an interview, a sales call. Just to remember, this is really not about me at all. It's all about the audience, right? That is how you switch from egocentric to audience-centric. And this audience-centric perspective, it can quickly make you forget about the spotlight effect, right? You literally shift the spotlight away from you and all of your worries and towards the buyer to find out what's right for them and to build that relationship. That is so important. Also, remember this. The audience, you know, whoever it is that you're selling to, they're not here to notice your floppy ears or the stain on your shirt or the spot on your chin. They're here to absorb your message. They want to know what skills you have, what experience you have, not your physical features. There's also that one as well, which is why it really helps to flip, you know, the spotlight from you to them. So the way to get over a lot of these sales fears is to just get over yourself and turn the spotlight on the people you want to sell to, the buyer, the audience. Now, I went through a number of years where I did quite a lot of public speaking. And I also, I'm someone who's very comfortable in social situations. And often people, they're like, Ricky, why are you such a fearless speaker or so fearless when it comes to interacting with others? I am 100% prepared wherever I go so I can focus on my audience. But secondly, I share the spotlight. I shine the spotlight on them. I know that when I go somewhere, whether it's a sales situation or a presentation or talk, it's not about me. It's about my audience. It's about the people I'm selling to. So I'm focusing on them. I've done the groundwork. I prepare it. I know what I'm there to say. I know what I got to offer. That allows me then to focus on the audience. So bear that in mind if you're finding it really paralyzingly intimidating. Shift the spotlight to your audience, because it's really all about them at the end of the day. That also works, by the way, in a lot of scenarios where you might feel self-conscious, you might not feel very confident. Shift the focus. A lot of times when people get in these scenarios, it's because they're way too self-absorbed. They're way too focused on themselves, for better or for worse. So shift the spotlight. That's really going to help you when you get into those scenarios. Why am I feeling like this? Isn't actually because I'm just keeping all that egocentric spotlight on me. Get over yourself. Selling is not about you. It's about them. Shift the spotlight. That's really, really going to help you. All right. Then let's move to mindset strategy number two. Be a value provider, not a self-promoter. Be a value provider, not a self-promoter. Now, this is something I get this question a lot about, self-promotion and tooting your own horn, especially inside of, you know, my program, Your Career Change Map, when we have the Q&As. It's always one of those things I get asked. Oh my God, I hate tooting my own horn. I don't like blowing my own horn. It feels so braggy to me. Ricky, do you have any tips? And yes, I do. And I'm going to say this slowly because it's really important. You want to differentiate between promoting yourself when it's all about you and you in isolation versus sharing proof of what you are capable of doing and providing values to others in the process. Not you in isolation, but you in relation to others. Here's the thing, self-promoters, they exist in isolation, whereas value providers, they exist in the context of others and with others. So differentiate between promoting yourself where it's all about you in isolation versus sharing proof of what you're capable of doing and providing values to others in the process. So forget about this you in isolation. Self-promoters exist in isolation. Value providers exist in the context of others and in providing value to them. Do you see how powerful this is? Again, it's not just about you. So I want you to have this mindset shift of going, stop being a self-promoter where it's all about you, and instead become a value provider where it's mostly about them, about others. And here's the thing, value provider, if you prefer the word problem solver, then become a problem solver. But still, a problem solver would also provide value because it's going to be a problem that's valued to have solved by the client, right? So I really like this value provider way of thinking about yourself. And, you know, let's face it, it's tough out there. And that's why it's important to focus so much on others. There is a guy called Matthew Kobach who used to do social media for the New York Stock Exchange. And he had this quote on Twitter that actually, I'm quite sure it was on Twitter he had it, but this quote is very famous that he said, and it's very much true to a large extent when it comes to selling in the workplace. Nobody cares about what you can do. Everybody cares about what you can do for them. Nobody cares about what you can do. Everybody cares about what you can do for them. That is worth bearing in mind. That's really what we are talking about here when it comes to work context. People want to know, yeah, it's all great what you're good at, but how is that relatable? How is that helpful for me? So just bear that in mind that you need to become a value provider and show people what you can do for them. Right? Now, the amount of times in my former corporate life that I've interviewed people, or even now as a client, when I try to find a right product fit for me, the amount of times I just had to sit there and listen to people tell me about irrelevant things about themselves, where it was all about me, 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 and what I can do and what I'm really good at. But I was just thinking there, yeah, but what about me? I'm the client. Now, the amount of times I remember sitting there as an interviewer back in my HR days, and I would just listen to these like generic examples, me, 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 about what people were doing. And it was all about them and, you know, self-promotion. It's so irrelevant. I don't want to hear it. I want you to make your past relevant to the future we're going to have together. I want it to be relevant to me as the buyer, right? And this is even more important as a career changer or someone who's new to a new business that you might want to be. It's even more important. You make your past relevant to me now, here in the future. You got to get out of that kind of me and my journey stuff and focus on the client, right? That is so, so important. The focus got to be on you providing value to the person that you actually want to buy you, right? If you're trying to sell yourself to someone, whether that's in an interview situation or you want them to buy your product or your service, you need to make it about how you can provide value for them, how you can help them, not just about promoting yourself. Now, here's an issue that you might have. The more vague you are about what you actually have to offer, the more you will worry about sounding like a self-promoter. So one solution is to identify and collect concrete examples of what you do have to offer others before you get to the sales stage and on an ongoing basis. So that's going to be the next point. But let's just close off this mindset strategy number two. Be a value provider, not a self-promoter. Okay. And then let's go into strategy number three, which is more of a practical tool thing. So strategy number three, prepare your unique value toolbox before selling. So one of the best things you can start doing right away to prepare yourself to provide real values to your potential clients or for future interviews is to compile a toolbox of concrete examples of your strongest skill set, of what you've already solved or achieved for others, or collate examples of how you've already provided values to others in a work capacity. This means that you don't just go into sales scenarios and just state your skills or give some vague generic statement or fluffer words, but that you actually give real life proof of how you've already used those skills to the benefits of others and therefore how you can do it for the person you're trying to sell to as well. I really want you to, whatever you do, really get away from that kind of vague generic recalls or business fluffer words. That in itself will make you stand out a mile and show that you really care. So knowing who you are and what you have to offer in advance of doing any selling is key. So you likely haven't done this, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to prepare this toolbox in advance so that once you get to the sales scenario or the sales opportunity, you can then tailor what you have to offer, what you've already got in your, you know, your toolbox. You can then tailor that to the client in front of you as and when needed, as long, of course, as that client is the right kind of client or that interviewer is the right kind of match. Okay, that's a different point. Now, compiling your unique value toolbox is not a one-off kind of thing, but you do want to establish a baseline And then you want to answer it on an ongoing basis. And this is something you should do throughout your entire career. And when I say toolbox, that's really just a fancy word for whether you want to do this in a spreadsheet or a Word document or a Notion board or a Trello board or whatever tool you use where you keep things. So I want, you know, you want this to, you want to write down for yourself your strongest skill set. And then you want to match that. You want to write out concrete examples of how you used your strongest skill set to the benefits of others. You want to do that exercise. You want to make it easy to reference and then build on. So you always have that to look at before you have any kind of sales scenario. Now, this is one area where career changers and new entrepreneurs, they often struggle if they don't get professional advice. You know, they go into this new career, this new business, they feel like they have nothing to offer. Wrong. Just because you're changing careers or starting your own business does not invalidate all of your skills and experiences overnight. This is really important to understand. They're still valued. A key part of a confident career change and a key part of figuring out what career business is right for you is actually upfront getting clear on what skills and strengths and experiences you actually already have that you want to continue to build on so that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater or end up walking empty-handed into the future. So make sure you actually take stock. Now, this whole getting clear on your existing foundation to build on, it is an area that is so important to your confidence and to your success as a career changer or business owner. Like inside of my career change program, you might have heard about your career change map before. We literally spend part of the first phase there getting clear on your foundation so you do not have to start from scratch. So that is really, really important. The older you are, the more important it is that you identify this foundation because you can really use your age, your experience as a benefit, as a sales tool, and help you actually build solid confidence. Now, that's not something I can do here inside of the podcast. If that's something you know you want help with, then make sure you go over to thecareerchangepodcast.com and click on the Work With Me button and you can get information about that here. However, what I do want to do here, I want to pull out a really small part of a much bigger exercise that I use with my client to help you prep a value toolbox with a view to selling. So that's something that you can start doing. It's part of a much bigger exercise, but I want to give that to you here in this podcast episode. So for the purposes of this particular podcast, let's create a toolbox of achievement examples for you. So a unique value toolbox that you can have as a baseline before you start selling. Now, you want to start focusing on finding examples of how you've used your strongest skill set to provide value and solving problems for others. You know, you want to identify your key skills and then you want to match that with key achievement examples. And here's the thing, even if you've been in a career or job that you hate for years, you will still have your strongest skill set because your strongest skill set is what you keep defaulting to every time you really need to, when you need to get results, when you need to solve problems. You know, your strongest skills are the ones that make you feel stronger, right? And none of those skills are limited to you just being a lawyer or finance or marketing person. So here's how you quickly do it. I want you to think about, okay, you identify your 3 to 5 strongest skills, the ones you enjoy using, the ones you're bloody good at, the ones that get you result, the ones that provide value for others. And then for each of those skills, I want you to think out several examples to back up each skills. You want to make sure that when you get to sales scenario, you don't just say that you're really good at writing. You give specific examples of how you use your writing skills to provide values to others, right? So the best examples to give in a sales scenario or for you to just think about right now to back up your skill set, they're achievements. So identify achievements to do with the different kind of skills that you have and then break them down into elements. And if you're an overachiever, you might want to lower your standards for what an achievement is in this exercise. But then you want to break down each achievement in terms of what was the problem, what was the action you took, and what was the result. So I call that the PAR method, P-A-R, problem, action, result, right? So what was actually the problem that the client, i.e. your employer potentially had or someone else had? What was it that you did and what was the result? So the before and after. That's a great, juicy example. That's what I want to hear. you know, how did you problem solve for others? How did you provide values for others? What was the context? That's what I want to know. And for some of you, that might be less day-to-day kind of things that you do. It might be more specific projects or specific periods. So just think over that. But you will have skills that you use to achieve achievements, that you use to get, you know, results for the people who are hiring you. You are never starting from scratch. So what I want you to do is really prepare that unique value toolbox before selling. Start doing that right now. And then once you've done that, that groundwork, you obviously want to add on it as you go along. That's a toolbox you want to build on over time. It's not just a one-off exercise. And the great thing is, once you've done that groundwork, then you can go into sales scenario knowing that you've done your groundwork, so you can focus on the person in front of you or the audience in front of you. And then you can pull out helpful examples during the sales conversation and give concrete examples of how you've already used what they are already looking for. You won't need to think, you won't in the moment struggle to think of concrete examples that are relevant to the client, potential client in front of you's problems or pain points or dreams, because you've already thought of those examples and you can pull them out as and when needed and tailor it directly to the client in front of you, right? And it's so important that you talk about this historical skill set in the light of the future of where you want to go next, right? Now, obviously, whatever you go into next, whatever career, whatever business, there will be new things that you're going to learn, but never underestimate the value of what you already have to offer and how you can match that for what your client needs. So what I also would say, if you're finding it hard to create this kind of example toolbox, it's probably because the spotlight is shining too much on you and you don't feel like you're anything special. So again, shift the spotlight away from you and maybe use input from others, whether it's performance appraisals or feedback you have from clients or people working with you. What are the things that they thought you do really well consistently? And then use those examples, right? Now, a side effect of doing this exercise is that you might find it hard to identify recent achievements. You know, if you are really unhappy in the job or career you're in right now, then it might have been a while since you actually had any solid achievements. That, my friend, is a good thing in the way of motivation. That should be a sign that you've already left it way too long to make a change. So you want to use that input, that information, to get your butt in gear with your career change, because you are right now de-skilling yourself. So that's actually a benefit of also doing this exercise. If you suddenly realize, wow, a lot of my achievements were a little while ago, I better get moving. Do the exercise. Prepare your unique value toolbox before selling. You already have a lot to offer. But that's really important. You want to prep. You want to have that prep done before you put yourself in any kind of sales scenario. Right? Let's wrap this up. Three strategies for helping buyers have an amazing experience with you. Number one is to get over yourself. Selling is not about you. It's about them, the buyer, the client. Number two, be a value provider, not a self-promoter. Let people know what value you bring to them, right? And then number three, prepare your unique value toolbox before selling, all right? So the most important thing really to take away from this episode is to get over yourself and remember that selling is not just about you. It's about them. How can you be of value to others? And I really want you to remember Marion, the bookseller. Be more Marion, all right? So there you go. Non-sleazy selling is absolutely possible. Now it's up to you to be a role model for this and to just enjoy the gift that it is to be able to provide value and solutions to others. Now, a quick note, I want to say thank you to all of you who are sharing this podcast with your friends, with your colleagues. Spotify actually got in touch with me earlier on this year and let me know that the Career Change podcast is in the top 5% globally of the most shared podcasts globally. And that makes me really, really happy, because that's the kind of podcast I want this to be, one that you share with your friends. So I love the fact that you are the type who loves sharing stuff that you find valuable with your friends. So you are already a value provider. Now do that for yourself in terms of the sales skill set. And also, what I would ask, if you enjoy this particular episode. If you enjoy the Career Change Podcast, full stop, please leave a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts and also a 5-star rating on Spotify if that's where you're listening. I am so grateful for you. Now, here is what I really want you to do. I want you to take really good care of yourself and remember that you are capable of providing an amazing buying experience for the people who need you. All right, I'll see you over at thecareerchangepodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers.